welcome to Your Home Group. My name is Greg Stevens, and we are live coming to you right now, Fort Worth, Texas, and on the Victory Channel. Welcome all of you watching on Victory. So those you watch on Roku, Apple TV, all the different ways. There are so many different ways now to watch that I lose track of them. Hello, Dish Network, Channel 265. We are so glad that you are with you. Home Group is live, and Home Group is about you. And what it's about is about you interacting with us as we talk about really subjects that you want to speak about. And tonight is one of those. You can interact with me. I have an Apple iPad right here. And if you're on Facebook, all you need to do is type in your question. It'll come straight here. If you want to give us another way to do it, I'll give you another way to do it. You can text your question to 682-302-1301. Wow, he said that fast. 682-302-1301. Or you can email it at askhomegroup@govictory.com. You'll see that throughout the program. It's right there on the bottom of the screen now. And throughout the program, you will see that because we want to do the best we can in the spirit of faith to answer your questions. Tonight, we're tackling a big one. It's amazing to me still when we ask people, what do you want to hear? What do you want to talk about? They want to know about finances. I'll read you a letter in just a moment from one of our viewers, but they say we've been tithing, we've been giving, we're doing everything we know to do, and we still don't seem to be able to get ahead. And so we'll talk about that plus some other things. So if that's the direction we're going. That's one of the questions you sent in over and over and over. So we're going to go there. We got a very special group tonight, and I want to introduce you to them now, and then we'll show you something to my wife. To my right again is my wife, Michelle.
Hello, everybody.
Was that a good save?
Yeah, that was a
welcome,
good save.
Michelle.
Good save.
And we have some new people with us. Laura Wooten is with us. Laura, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And then we brought in some experts concerning finances. Steve and Mindy Higgins are with Forward Financial Group. And if you've watched the Victory Channel very long, Gary and Drinda Cassie have a program called Fixing the Money Thing. And you're part of Gary and Drinda. Forward Financial is Gary's company.
That's correct.
And I'll show you a clip here in a minute about them. Their program airs right here on Victory Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern and 3:30 Pacific. And you want to, if you've never watched it, you really should, because it gives you some great answers. Well, the thing's called Fixing the Money Thing, right? So that's what we're talking about tonight. You guys came out here and you did, or Gary and Drinda did a seminar here at Eagle Mountain Church about, has it been about 6 months now?
Yeah, May.
May.
It was in May.
Yes.
And you helped people, and we'll talk about this, but you helped people organize their finances. You made them look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, the ugly budget, the good budgets, right? And there was a pretty outrageous claim that you can have your mortgage paid off in 7 years or less, not making any more. That means I need to get three or four more jobs, right?
Right, not. No, you
no.
do not. That's correct.
That you can show Christians how to do that.
Absolutely.
At not
no
making any more. And you
no
did
charge.
It free of charge.
That's correct.
How many people went through the program where you analyze their finances? And well, just tell me how you do it. What do you do?
Sure. So in short, we meet with a family and
we did it and you did it as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So we gather their basic information, you know, what they're paying bills on, you know, their credit cards, their school loans, their car loans, their mortgage. We gather that basic information along with their, you know, their income and other expenses. So we gather that data. It takes about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and we gather that just to get an idea of where they're at. Then we go back and we organize. And the issue is we're trying to find fragments. See, budgets just...
What do you mean by fragments?
Well, fragments are going to be areas that they might be overspending. Some areas, they are areas they are right in front of them. They just don't see it. So, for example, my wife and I, and this is true of about 90% of the people, if we ask them a question, how much do you spend on food, groceries, and dining out? The answer is, how much do you think?
$1,000.
How much?
$600.
90% of the people that we asked that, including Mindy and I, when we were asked that question going on 8.5 years ago now, is $600. Now, we give our clients an exercise to do between the first and the second appointment, which helps open their eyes to how much they're really spending. Because when you put down a budget, those are just fake numbers. You just write them down. Here's what I think I'm going to spend.
Yeah.
But then life happens.
Do donuts count?
Everything.
All right. Just thought I'd ask that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what we recommend is they do a 3-month look back, and we simply go back and look to see where did the money actually go.
That's the ugly budget.
That's the ugly budget. But
that's the real budget.
Yeah. It's really true, accurate reflection. And what we found was we thought we were spending $600. We were really spending $1,833 a month.
Wow.
So that's an example of a fragment that is right in front of you, but you don't see.
Okay, so what you're telling me is I can never go out to eat again?
Not at all. You certainly need to go out to eat. That's the problem. You'll hear programs where they talk about, you know, get 2 jobs, get 3 jobs, you know, ignore your family, ignore your children, just throw everything at getting a debt. You know, we call it the embodiment of the earth curse system, where you're literally going to forsake everything and pursue money. You want to talk about worshiping money? Pursuing it that way, to get out of debt that way, I believe is that. But they'll talk about, you know, eat beans and rice. You know, we believe there's supposed to be a little bit of heaven here on earth.
Amen.
I mean, who's going to want to sign up for being a Christian if being a Christian means you're supposed to eat beans and rice, have 2 or 3 jobs, and live in a box? You know, so no, but you can be more responsible. So with Mindy and I, we look back. Now, if you think about the sheer math, $600 a month. Mm-hmm. We had a family of 5, including 3 growing boys. Okay, so 600 divided by 30 days a month, 3 meals a day, that's $1.33 per meal. That's what we had budgeted. I mean, we could skip breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we still couldn't go out for a happy meal at the end of the day. It was just unrealistic.
Yeah, can't do it.
But that was our budgeted amount.
Yeah.
Okay, then you go to the 1833. Well, for people that were literally, you go back 10 years for us, we were literally arguing about ending our lives because we were so destitute and our finances were so out of control and we were hopeless. That 1833 might be a little bit much in that circumstance. So we adjusted it and we worked that number down to 1200. Now we talked about how much did you think people think they spend, 600 or 1000, but 1200 was still going to enable us to enjoy some life.
Be able so
to
now you just made, because you did, you got it down. So spending $1,800 a month eating out, you got it down to 1200. So you just made.
Yeah. $633 a month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Without getting another job.
See, what I'm thinking of when you said fragments, because this is the pastor in me coming out. When I heard you say fragments, I was reminded where Jesus fed the 5,000 and there was fragments left over and he told them to gather them up and put them in the baskets.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's an example of an ongoing monthly expense that you might have that is right in front of you. But if you don't know how to go about looking for it, you know, I'll have people that I'll deal with all the time. Oh, no, Steve, we've already looked at that. You know, we grow our own chickens. We make our own bread. We, you know, they've got it all figured out.
How big do you plant a chicken?
But they'll say, we've already researched that. But I'll say, good, get your bank statement. Let's go ahead and do that together. And I can sit down with, well, but you got to understand what happened that month. Well, no, that's okay. That's why we do 3 months. Mm. Because something happens every 3 months. So that's one example of an ongoing one. Another one, though, and this was a fun one, we had signed up for a weight loss program, okay, with some shakes that you buy in. It's auto ship, comes every month. You know, I mixed it with ice cream and all kinds of stuff. It still didn't work. So
why didn't it work? I don't get it. What happened? What went wrong there?
But this was set up on auto ship, so it just kept coming. We were putting it on the shelves.
Yeah.
And I was downstairs one day. It was spring cleaning time, and I decided, you know, we're not going to drink this stuff. I'm just going to throw it in the trash. Yeah. And Mindy shouted out. She goes, no, don't do that. She says, don't throw it in the trash. She goes, we can sell it on eBay. I thought, we're not even drinking this. Who's going to buy this on eBay?
Bet they were.
Yeah. So she put it on eBay. And what do we get for that?
$100 a bag.
Yeah.
Wow. $300.
$300. I mean, that's literally cash from the trash.
Yeah.
I was about ready. So I'm throwing the trash. Mm-hmm. She put it on eBay, sells for $300. And so that's a one-time fragment that we might be able to recover, and that goes towards the plan. So those are things that are right in front of you.
Yeah.
Now, the second type of thing is going to be something that maybe you don't know a lot about. Pastor Gary always likes to say on Fixing the Money thing, whatever you don't know about is often where you're losing money.
Hmm.
And that could be topics such as taxes or insurance or topics that, you know, seemingly seem that you can't figure it out. Who can ever figure those topics out, right? Mm-hmm. And so we go to area, and we have experts that look at those areas and try to uncover fragments in those areas as well.
Wow, that's great. So. Steve and Mindy Higgins, and I said, I know I can hear you right now like you're in my ear saying, this is all going too fast. I can't write this down. You can still watch Pastor Gary Cassie's sessions that he did here at Eagle Mountain Church, emic.org. And he was going to be with us tonight on Skype, but currently he's somewhere over the ocean on his way to Israel in an airplane. So Pastor Gary and Dorinda, we give you a pass on that one. You are watching Home Group, and the program's about you, and we want you to interact with us. I have an iPad here, and if you're on Facebook, welcome. Thank you. And you type the question in. The information's on the screen, how you can text a question in or email a question in. And I want to, we hear so many things from you, the people who watch Home Group. And it's just amazing to people run up and say, I watch Home Group. I love Home Group. Matter of fact, let me just play a clip of one of our viewers that she sent in. Watch this.
Well, I really enjoy Home Group because I deal with the real issues, you know, and I love the fact that people can call in and you guys just kind of get caught in with whatever is in your spirit at the time. So you feel like you're really being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, you know, and he's just flowing through you. And it's rare, it's raw. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. It's just right off, you know, right off the throne.
Yeah.
And you can see the anointing. The other thing I like is that you each bring such a different perspective, you know, and so God is multifaceted. He has so many different aspects to him, and so he's able to really express himself through each person that's on the panel. So that's what I love about it.
And we love it that you love it, and I'm so grateful. You know, Pastor Gary and Drenda from the TV program here on the network that airs Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern and 3:30 p.m. Pacific. They did send, we do have a little greeting from them. So I want to go ahead and play that before we get back into how to get out of debt. Watch this.
The good life, mm-hmm. to experience the kingdom in their faith and in their family and their finances.
I remember the days that for 9 years, lived hand to mouth, in debt, panic attacks, antidepressants, basically trying to find scraps, anything we could find to survive. It was Brother Copeland's broadcast that would keep us engaged, and the conferences we went to was the picture. It was a picture of life differently.
Hearing the word, it transformed our mind to think differently.
And as we came out of debt and began to apply the principles of God, it was almost, I had to pinch myself over and over again. Did that just happen? And the kingdom became alive.
We said, God, if you'll show us how to get out of debt, you'll show us how to have the victory that we see in the promises in your word and that we've heard Brother Copeland talk about. If you'll show us, God, we'll spend our life helping other people get out of debt, get free, and walk in the kingdom and the blessings of that. We went on to build a multi-million dollar business, mm-hmm. to start pastoring a church, and then end up being in television ministry doing on this network. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is an amazing story. But our heart was, we have to tell the people that the Bible is exactly as it says, and that the stories you read can be their story, your story. And so we began to apply those principles and decided to follow the Lord. He kept leading us into greater and greater aspects of outreach. And TV was one that was an amazing opportunity, but it was also a journey. I never thought I'd do television, and especially to be on this network. It's an honor to be here. So Fixing the Money Thing was birthed out of the thought that we're gonna help people understand how to get out of debt. That was our main passion, to get people out of debt and to enjoy life with an abundance, enough to run their assignment, to take care of their family, and to enjoy the best of the land, like the Word of God says. And so we've been doing that now on television for about 15 years.
Yes, and helping people experience the kingdom like we experienced it. If God can do that for us, He can do that for you. He can do that for anybody. And now today, we just get the blessed honor of being part of this network. We are so thankful to be part of the mission that Kenneth Copeland Ministries started many years ago, that seeded into our life. To get to seed that now into the lives of others is an incredible, incredible honor.
What an awesome journey it is, will be, and has been. You're going to have a story as well, a victory. Let me encourage you today, the Word of God works for anyone at any time.
There you go. I really appreciate that, because what I like about that is he's walked through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when you hear him tell that whole story about, you know, what their house was like and their family and everything.
Well, and as a believer, mm-hmm. leading praise and worship in his church.
Okay.
He was in he was a financial advisor then.
Yeah.
Right. But still living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. I mean, so leading praise and worship, he's in that scenario. And
it sounds like so many people that we run into. I want to tell you about one thing. The Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign begins tomorrow night with Brother Copeland. Let me encourage you right now, if you're anywhere near the D.C. area in driving distance, I encourage you, if you can, please go, even if it's just for one day or one night. It really, we say this a lot, but it's absolutely truth because we've lived it.
Yes.
One word from God will change your life.
Amen.
And so I really believe in this season and the election and the condition Washington's in, for Brother Copeland to be there right now is vitally important. And I'm encouraging as many believers as possible can. If you can't be there, then watch it right here on Victory Channel. We'd like that. I want to give you an announcement about one other thing. 2 weeks from now, November 20th, Home Group will not be on, but we will be live from Eagle Mountain Church. And we have a very special guest. Irving Roth will be with us. Mm-hmm. Irving Roth is an Auschwitz survivor. He was a young boy. He'll tell his story. It's very compelling. Plus, there's a special guest that'll be with us. That's November 20th. So we might want to make sure, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come in and join us at 7 p.m. Central Time. That'd be 8 Eastern on that. All right, let's get back to this. I have a letter that came in from a partner and an e-member. And they watch and listen on Victory. Thank you. This is Daniel and Jessica. And they really enjoy Faith Foundations, which is a Sunday morning thing. It says, my wife and I have been believing for finances and other things and have been wondering about it. We understand the basics of Scripture, Mark 11:24. It seems so simple. Believe it, speak it, receive it. We understand Jesus wants to bless it. It seems that the only stipulation he made was to not hold unforgiveness towards others. He said that they've checked their heart, you know, on and on and on. How do we reconcile our seemingly not receiving what we've been believing for? Is our harvest being delayed? And he talks about Abraham. He talks about the prince of the power, the heir of Persia. Are we believing wrong? Are we asking incorrectly? Are we out of faith? And that's what you hear a lot of people when they're believing, especially in the area of finances, and they then begin to doubt, are we doing something wrong? Or And what you offer is a practical step to get the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Right? You got an answer for Daniel and Jessica?
Well, there's a lot of questions there. There's a lot. Yeah. I mean, what's exciting is how engaged they are, because they're obviously in the Word. Look at all the references. Look at all the attempts that they're making to find the disconnect, to look for the research. And the first answer I'd say is ask the greatest advisor you could ever call upon,
Amen.
Which is the Holy Spirit in you.
Right. Yeah.
Just ask. You know, we don't have answers because we don't ask. So, you know, and it's great to call to reach out to us and ask, and we've lived it, and we've made the right decisions, wrong decisions. She had a job position that was literally being held up and held in place for her, but unforgiveness was in the way. And go ahead, tell them what happened.
Who were you mad at?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to. And why were you mad at him? Was it Steve?
No, I had quit a job and because I was promised this other job and I didn't get paid from the new employer, and that caused us to be behind, which that was I need to forgive him, and that was tough. So when I finally did, I got this job that I had applied for that was being held for me, that the very next day, I got that job.
Yeah, the very next day, not like weeks later, not after other hurdles, just the next day.
Yeah, and there were other people who were more qualified than I. And actually, the job that I got was Steve's previous job, and I got his desk. But there was a long list of people who were more qualified than I was. But
you didn't find any of those shake bags. Sorry. Okay. Here's a question that came in by text. Thank you for sending this in. It says this: does setting a budget limit your expectations? Therefore, is that limiting God to set a budget?
No, because the two, like we said, budgets don't work anyhow. So you can kind of throw the
budget.
Whoa,
wait a minute. Whoa. No, that's what we're always taught. Set a budget.
Yeah, no.
What do you mean budgets don't work?
Budgets don't work because whether you're talking about the federal government, you're talking about a business, an organization, or a household, people remember it's that pretty budget. They write a budget, but then they don't hit the budget. They overspend. And so then they get to the end of the month, talking about families. Yeah, too much month, not enough money. Yeah. And so the
issue, that's when you go get another job.
No. In fact, I listened to some folks provide a praise report on another program they went through, and they were celebrating that they had gone through this program and they were out of debt in 2.5 or 3 years. And they were so excited because what they had done was they had literally told their family and friends and children, we're going off the grid for a couple of years. Don't even reach out to us. We're not going to spend any time with you, friends, family, mom, dad, kids. We've got to get out of debt. Yeah. And so we're going to do that. We're going to set a budget. We're going to get 2 jobs, 3 jobs. And they were celebrating this. They couldn't even see each other as a husband and wife. They were getting 2 and 3 jobs to try to figure this out and eke out this existence. They literally used the phrase, we ate beans and rice. And they're celebrating. They're like, yay, this isn't this great. Yeah. And they said, we were so stupid for getting into debt. So then they began to condemn themselves. And they were encouraging, they were going to go condemn everybody else who was also getting into debt because they're stupid for getting into debt. And this is not the picture that God has given us. We're supposed to have, if we are following the kingdom principles,
right,
and we are tithing, okay, that's first and foremost. Tithe doesn't provide an increase. I mean, it does in a way because...
As you're starting on that, let me just with a question, because you brought up tithing. And then we got a clip from Pastor George in a moment that I'll play for you, tithing. Let's see. Betty, thank you for your question. My husband and I have been tithers for years and plan to continue, but I've heard it taught that you are cursed if you don't pay your tithes, and also taught that we're redeemed from the curse, so we don't have to tithe, just give what we feel led to give. What's correct?
Well, what's the tithe?
Yeah, so the tithe, this is the best way to get a visual for things. It helped me, is a tithe is a fence around your provision. The tithe isn't for the church. The tithe isn't for God. He doesn't need our money.
Right.
The tithe is to rebuke the devourer. So it's to set a protection around our assets, our health, our finances.
Like a fence around a garden.
Exactly. Like, you know, now, like I said, it doesn't provide increase. It does in a way because it kind of rebukes the devourer. But if you're going to have increase, now you got to plant something inside of that fence. Yes.
Okay, wait a minute.
That's a whole different topic.
Okay, so you're saying then the tithe is the fence. Okay, so let's take these couches, if I can get a wide shot here. So this would be the tithe, that's couches correct. Here.
And but we have an chair. Open spot there. So
and we have an open spot. Well, imagine it's closed in.
You got it.
So you're saying the tithe then is this fence, is this mm-hmm. around this?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay, so what's this?
Our seed.
Yeah, this is where we can sow and we can plant things to get them to grow. And that's where we can then experience increase. Now, and the best story I could tell you about this and what happened to me is I had gone to Pastor Gary's church for about 5 or 6 services. Mm-hmm. This is, we were new, we'd been invited. About the 5th or 6th service, I'd heard him continually talking about finances. And I was raised in a denominational church where we didn't talk about money that way. And so I just thought, man, this, I got to get more because it sounds like he's just talking about money, but there's a different twang to it. So I went to the bookstore and I said to the lady, the clerk, I said, look, I've heard your pastor talk about seed sowing, gift giving, offering. Mm-hmm. I said, how many different ways is he trying to collect money at this place? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, this poor lady, you would have thought I hit her in the face.
Yeah, right, sure.
And I realized, but I was hungry. You see, I was hungry. So yes. I said to her, I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rough, but tell me, you know, does he have a resource that talks about this? And she was so stunned, she didn't even know what to say.
Yeah, right.
So I said, well, I'll kind of look around.
She's calling security, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I said, well, I'll kind of look around the bookstore, and I didn't find anything that jumped out at me. But as I was walking out, there was a table, said, free, take one. And there happened to be a little CD there called Tithe a Fence. Okay, that was the title. I didn't see it. There was no label, but when I put it in the CD player, free was a good price.
Yeah,
it broke all this down in a practical way that I'd never heard before. It explained the tithe and the fact that if you can't live on 90% of your money, you can't live on 100%. So that extra, and that's what we talk about. When we meet with people on there and do a plan mm-hmm. for them, we put that on the table. Now, I, you know, it's your job to understand right. it and to apply it and receive the benefits in your life. You don't have to. You don't have to put a security system in your home. Might be a good idea. Maybe, it's, you know, but maybe you don't need it. But the tithe, and then I understood the concept of sowing. See, I didn't know. I just thought that was just another way that churches used to get you to give more, was they, you know, they just get you to sow. It was just a phrase. It meant nothing to me. But then in the CD, it talked about the concept of a farmer doesn't go out into the field and sow a kernel of corn and then go, oh, well, I guess it didn't happen. You know, don't know why it didn't happen. They expect that it happened. And if it didn't, they start digging around to find out what was the problem. Oh, I planted corn in the middle of December. No wonder it didn't come. You know, they look for questions. And that's another thing Pastor Gary taught me right out of that session was, if it didn't happen, you sowed a seed and you didn't receive it, either it's God's fault and God's a liar, and we know that can't happen, you know, or the disconnect might be on our end. Mm. Well, I got it. I'm like, okay, I believe it's on my end, but how do I find it? Hmm. And that was the issue, is a lot of Christians don't even need to know. They don't even think they need to go looking for anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just think they need to sit back and keep being disappointed in their faith.
That's so good. That's so good that you're pointing these things out. I think when we, if we don't ask the questions, if we don't start researching and getting wisdom, the Bible's very specific on get wisdom in areas. I've heard ministers talk about, if they didn't have understanding and healing, they would dive into healing scriptures and they would get understanding and healing. So it's the same for finances. Yes. If we don't have understanding about finances and we just assume we know what God says about it and we don't seek the answers and don't get wisdom and exactly what you offer to the body of Christ, it is you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
And then you're disappointed because you think God has failed you.
Right.
Right. And what we typically have two camps. We have the group of folks that are all sitting back waiting for God to do it for them.
Right.
And that they're going all supernatural. It's all spiritual. Everything's spiritual. Everything's spiritual. No practical. You know, the Bible's very clear. Faith without works is dead.
Correct.
You got to put your hand to the plow. You've got to do something. Now, I'm not talking about painful toil and sweat. It's not the same thing. But you've got your part to play in this process. Yeah. So there's the spiritual, but then there's also the practical.
Right.
And what we find is when you take the spiritual and the practical, you put them together, we see supernatural results.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And that's
wonderful. Well, I promised you a clip from Pastor George and Sister Gloria. This is clip 3, please, gentlemen. Clip 3, should you give while you're in debt? Debt is what connects us to failing. That's what they say. Watch this. We'll be right back.
I would say to everyone who is believing right now for your debt freedom, if you're not tithing, you go before the Lord and repent right now, and you start tithing again. If you have not been doing that, you need to do that. As Brother Copeland said here, it's debt is the umbilical cord, or it's what connects us to the Babylonian system of finance, which is failing. But our tithe is the umbilical cord that connects us to the blessing. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That is the blessing that God spoke over Adam and Eve.
Thank you, Lord.
And there we go with the kingdom. And that's what we're supposed to be walking in the blessing. So tonight, home group, I've got your questions are coming in fast and furious. We're going to get to as many as we possibly can. Steve and Mindy Higgins are with us from Forward Financial, Gary and Drenda Cassis. Company. There, you help people get out of debt. Laura Wooten is with us, and my wife Michelle, and I'm Greg Stevens. Where you're at, and so we're so grateful. And you are you. Well, there you go. And so we're grateful that you're with us tonight. We're talking about getting out of debt, the practical and the spiritual sides of this thing, because this is one of the number one questions that comes in. I showed you, and you've seen it in the office, Laura. Right outside in there where our staff, the church staff, we pray over these. Pastor George had us fill out cards of what you were believing for. Mm-hmm. And we put those up on the wall. You sent them in. And I want you to know they're prayed over. And the number one thing we saw was finances.
Finances, yeah.
Getting out of debt, getting their finances in order. Mm-hmm. And I thought, look at this, the body of Christ still is struggling with this.
I think they're bound. I think we recently was able to take some classes that was provided by Forward Financial here at EMIC. And one of the things I realized is the topic itself is so heavy.
Yeah.
And when Pastor Gary talks about, you know, his anxiety, the pressures, and this is real.
Yeah.
You know, this is powerful. It has a powerful hold on people.
Yeah.
And when we began to take classes, I realized it was like you were taking, like Lazarus was raised from the dead, and you began to unbind when Jesus told him, take the clothes off. But he told the people to do that. Yeah. He didn't do that. He said, you guys go unbind him. And that is a clear picture to me was people are so bound and they don't realize that they are.
But we're not really taught, are we?
No.
I mean, we're not taught in school. And you know, like your parents, depending on where your parents are, we have whole generations that grew up, they were welfare children and they'll have welfare children. Yeah. And I think one of the thing I learned the most was a shocking thing for me is was welfare and all the government systems were supposed to be a safety net, not a trampoline.
Right.
Right.
And they're never, you're never going to bounce on a trampoline of that and get ahead. Mm-hmm. You have to do something different. Okay, so I have a question that came in. This is a text that says, I want to get out of debt, but I'm at a loss as to where to begin. And we have an exclamation point in capital. Help.
Wow.
All right.
See?
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Give our website.
What do we do? I mean, what's something you could tell somebody right now?
First of all, they need to get a plan. So the plans that we did for you and we've talked about, they need to get a free plan. It says in Habakkuk that you need to have a plan. Make it plain. Get it out there in front of you. You know, now we had our plan. We were off course 70% of the time with our plan.
Okay, so now you did this.
Yes. Sure. It's the first thing we did.
Yeah, first thing we did was had a
plan. So you've gone through this.
Yes.
And so now you, okay, so you own a home.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be just be blunt. I don't know the answer.
No, make it roll. Put it out.
It's paid off.
Yes.
Our home is not paid off.
Not yet.
Okay.
So we had a multi-million-dollar home building business.
Okay.
Going into 2008. Everybody knows what happened in 2008.
Yes,
70% of my peers went bankrupt, okay? We didn't go bankrupt, but we did have to close our business.
And I was a realtor, so.
Yeah, so I'm a builder, she's a realtor. There's 2008.
Strike one, strike two.
Yeah, so we went from being out of debt, having planning for an early retirement, to seemingly overnight, it wasn't overnight, but seemingly overnight, back into debt to the tune of $500,000.
Yeah.
We were scheduled to be in debt till age 72, and I knew that because we had just refinanced the house on a 30-year loan, trying to get the payment down. We're trying to pull in our budget as quickly as we could under the circumstances. They weren't hiring presidents of home builders or realtors much at that time. So we went into $500,000 debt, 30 years, completely annihilated our retirement account down to zero, just trying to survive that economic downturn. And that's when, you know, of course, when your financial pressures cause the cracks in your marriage start to come up.
Oh, sure.
And so that's what's happened. You know, when you have plenty of money, there's no problem. But when we were in that situation, everything was falling apart. Our children were living in fear. We were fighting nonstop.
Pointing fingers.
Yeah. She was stressed out, walking on eggshells. Yeah. I was doing the best I could at a cubicle job, just trying to survive. And it was hopeless. Yeah. We were hopeless. We literally had that argument about who is going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Not because we cared about each other at that point, but literally just because
we wanted the other person to stay.
So. So I guess it was down in there, but you know, but this was
That's dark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dark place to be.
And it seemed real. I mean, that's what seemed to make sense.
When it was real, we had an accountant that jumped off of a reservoir bridge. He committed suicide.
Oh my God.
Another dear friend gassed himself in his garage. Oh. Now these are people that have nice homes, nice cars, everything on the outside looked great.
Families.
But inside, they're hopeless. Yeah. And so, you know, we that's where we showed up. You know, we were Christians, saved at a very young age, but had built a kingdom of self, and now it was all coming apart.
Crumbled.
And so what do we do at that moment? You know, we run back to God. Oh, God, you can have all
of me. Help us.
Everything I've got is yours.
Help, Lord, my name is Jimmy. Gimme.
Yeah, so we sat down and we said, she actually got us signed up to have this plan done. I'm a husband. Yeah. I don't want to ask for directions. I don't need anybody's help. I run a multi-million-dollar business. I had experience in financial services. There was nothing that they were going to teach me.
But it wasn't working, so.
And so she signed us up for this plan, and I sat down and reluctantly provided the information. And it's not super private. There's no social security numbers or detailed things like that.
No account numbers.
Yeah, just the basic information.
Yep.
And we provide.
And you can take that basic information.
Yeah.
Find hidden money, ways to cut back without it hurting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's for a season. So it's
how do I pay the house off?
Yeah. So here's what happened with us.
Real simple.
We took it. We took the numbers. They found the fragments. They put it in the plan. And we were supposed to be in debt for 11.9 years. Well, but I thought Pastor Gary said
seven.
Mm-hmm. 11.9. Well, what was he going to do? Say, oh, well, forget it. If it's not seven, I'll just go ahead and pay it for 30. No, I was. We were. Our money coach was disappointed. It was going to take.
It was only $50 we were applying towards it.
Yeah, because I was being belligerent. I wouldn't. We only had $50 to put towards the plan.
And it's not magic. It's just math.
Yeah. So we then read Fixing the Money thing. We applied some of the practical solutions. That took us down to 7 years. Now that was great, but then we started hearing things about the kingdom. We learned about tithe. We learned about sowing. We began to apply
those. So you weren't tithing before that?
No. I was tipping.
Yeah.
You're tipping.
Tipping. You know, if the pastor wound up and gave a big sermon, I'd reach in my pocket. And whatever's in there, if it's $20, oh, God, you can have all I have. If it's $200, oh, God, you can have all I can have.
Yeah.
You know, when they had a fundraising campaign, it was, where are you going to place my company's my building company, not the company I work for now, but the building company's advertising and the program or whatever. It was tipping. And I believe every dollar I ever gave in that way was always returned to me because it was completely given wrong. But the bottom line is, applying the kingdom principles, 27 of 28 accounts paid off, not in 11.9, not in 7, in 4.
Yeah. Mm.
And we praise God for that.
Yeah,
so the question is, well, why wouldn't you just go ahead and pay your mortgage off? Because we believe mortgages, debt to pay mortgage off. Well, our mortgage is a very low interest rate right now. And so our money is actually growing faster. And as we rebuild our retirement account that was wiped out in that collapse, our money's actually growing faster than it would be to pay off the mortgage and with the interest deductibility. Now, one size doesn't fit all for everybody.
Right.
For some people, the best strategy is pay that mortgage off.
Right.
But the big issue is about using wisdom and applying what's going to make it work best.
See, here in our situation, we were in ministry.
Right.
And things are tight. We're struggling. Things are happening. Of course, we lived in California, market crash. Yeah. And I started reffing ball games.
Right.
I was a referee.
Right.
And, you know, a few $100 every day, you know, that was coming in extra. And then I realized one day my knees hurt.
Yeah.
My legs hurt. Yeah. You know, if you're an umpire, just saying, you're behind the catch. I'm getting beaned by balls, you know. And plus, I got a guy calling me everything imaginable under the sun every single day.
And missing a lot of time at home with our family.
And I realized,
oh, yeah.
Laura, I was never home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too many sacrifices.
I was never home. I missed how many years of kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's not supposed to be like that.
No, that's a toil that you're trying to make up for it on your own.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Trying to toil through it. You know?
See, we tried to help people in our church because we wanted to do a building campaign. And I realized just how in debt everyone in our church was.
Yeah.
This was about 2003 or so. And I had the people bring in their credit card statements.
Yeah.
And we started teaching people. We had a mortgage banker. We had another banker in the church, and we hooked them up with professionals to see if we could get their credit card interest down. Everything we could do in the natural to get. And so we were collecting money in the church for paying people's credit cards off.
Debt.
Mm-hmm. And so we would have a jubilee service, and we would pray about who should be this week, who should be this time. And they would come in and we would pay their credit card. They had to bring the credit card bill in. We didn't give them the money. Mm-hmm. And we paid pick one, Bank of America, whatever it is, a credit card. We would pay it off and send it in for them. And then they cut that card up. And I said, don't go get another card now.
Yeah.
We'd cut that card up. And I have a jar of cut up credit cards. And it all began to fall apart after a little while, because what I asked those people to do is make a vow that they will sow what they would have done in the credit card for a couple of months back into this fund to help somebody else out, and then take your money and pay off something else that you would have been paying on that credit card.
Yeah.
But then I started having people not do that. Mm. I had people take out another credit card, and I said, okay, God, this has got to stop. But I didn't know about, I was trying to make this, you know, do this.
Well, and that's where, that's where the rubber meets the road. Because we find that debt's not an income issue.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
So we meet with folks that make $300,000 a month. We meet with folks that make $1,000 a month. And they're all equally broke.
Yeah.
Debt's a heart issue.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we have to transform and renew our minds to a new way of handling money. Whether you're talking about Brother Copeland or you're talking about Pastor Gary, they both say the same thing. Oh, you have a problem? You have a mortgage? Here's a solution. Pay it off.
Right.
And everybody looks at him like, what? What are you talking about? And what they're really talking about is a heart transplant, a change, renew your mind. You know, every debt we have is outside of what God's plan for our life was. He says, owe no man anything but the love in your heart. Right. He doesn't say it except if you need a mortgage, because homes are real expensive. Okay. Now, that being said, there's no condemnation, because you're going to be paying somebody's mortgage. When you're just getting started, you're either going to be paying a landlord's mortgage or you're paying your own mortgage. So we're not assessing condemnation for that. But the issue is we're to be the head, not the tail. We're never to be indebted to anyone else.
So, praying in the blessing.
You know.
Okay, so here's a couple of questions. Let me get to these. And thank you for sending these in. The information's there on the screen, how you can interact with us as well. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband doesn't believe in tithing. So what do I do? Ladies?
Well, there's still agreement. If you both want to pay things off, you're still in agreement.
You have to be.
And
ladies, anybody? What do I do? What do you do when you and your husband are not in agreement? That doesn't really happen to us. We have to.
It's a tough question.
No,
I mean, what would you do if we're not in agreement? Well, I didn't make you be in agreement. Sorry.
So she is, and he's not.
She believes in tithing. He does not. She wants to know what to do.
Well, I guess I wonder who has control of the funds in the household. Because if she does, then she could tithe it anyway, right?
That's true. That's true.
Will that cause a fight? Wait, you did a big sigh.
Well, you still want to have the agreement. I don't know what it's all about agreement.
Yeah. Well, you are one. Yeah. You know, but you also have to love, you know, you win your husband over by loving your husband.
And it can't
and
be a
so
secret.
Yeah. It's not a secret. And I also think, you know, God will show up in big ways when you do so.
There you go.
And that will be a
testimony. Okay, so now you said so. And here's another question that came in. And we realize a lot of these questions on Facebook, you know, you get all kinds of people that don't understand our word of faith or Christian lingo so much. And she says, how do we sow, and what does that mean? What does sow mean? And then how much do I do that?
It's not a formula. You know, I don't think it's a formula.
Is it how you feel in your heart? Because I can sow to an individual, I can sow to a church.
Right.
You may have a specific
good soil.
You're sowing for something specific. You know, not that it's a tithe.
Give me an example. Have you done that?
If you have a need in your family, and you know, aside from your tithe, you may sow for a specific need that you have.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Just make sure it's good soil.
We're not literally talking about seeds. We're talking about giving.
We're giving money into something.
Yes.
Into an organization or into...
Is it always money?
No.
No, it doesn't have to always be. It can be your time.
It can be your car.
It can be
clothing. It could be anything that God puts in your hand that belongs to Him. Whatever you have really belongs to God.
Right.
And so it's His anyway. So whatever He asks of you to sow, whatever's in your hand, and He says sow, then you're obedient to what He says and sow it.
And that's the main thing.
How do you know when you feel that?
The Holy Spirit will tell you.
Yeah. Like how?
You have to ask and be quiet and listen.
Okay. I think there's a prompting in your heart where it just doesn't leave you.
Yeah.
Like a certain person will come to mind, or a family, or you'll sense a need from someone, or you'll see something, and you just can't.
You can't shake it.
Right. And if you miss it, it'll come back around.
Yes. And the minute that you do walk in obedience, then you're at peace.
I remember one day we were at Walmart, and there was this little elderly lady, and all the stuff stand there in these huge long lines. And here's an opportunity in this holiday season work on your love walk. huge long line, and she's digging for coins, trying to count out enough. And so now she's kind of flustered, and she's figuring out what to put back.
And the pressure of the line.
And you remember?
Yes.
I don't know why. It wasn't that I was moved with compassion. It wasn't that I was angry with her. I just went up, and I looked at the lady behind the little bleep, bleep, bleep thing or whatever. What is that called?
Register?
Yeah, the register. Yeah. It bleeps.
The clerk.
It bleeps.
Whatever.
Doesn't it bleep?
Yes.
Somebody help me.
It bleeps.
And so I just said, how much does she need? Mm. And she told me, and I think you were with me.
Yes.
I just paid for the whole thing and said, give her that.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it is this was the thought in my head. My mother is about that age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would want somebody to do that for my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's awesome. You know? Now, what's
that? Is that right? That's right. Is that sowing?
Yeah. No.
That's loving.
That's an offering. That's you're taking alms for the poor. You're helping the widow.
That's not sowing.
That's not sowing. Now, Brother Jesse Duplantis taught me this principle or this concept, dollar for dollar exchange. You took care of that need, that money's going to be restored to you. Why? So you can take care of another need.
Yeah.
That money's flowing through you like a conduit. Yeah. Sowing anticipates a harvest. So if you're sowing, it's on purpose.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sow, again, I go back to that kernel of corn.
Right.
If a farmer sowed a kernel of corn, he doesn't sit there and go, oh, why did I put that in the ground? I hope something happens. I've waited for 10 years and nothing happened. Oh, I guess sowing doesn't
okay,
work.
Okay, so here's Melody ask this, because now we've hit a nerve here.
Okay.
Melody asks, is sowing and offering the same thing or are they different things? Do you sow into ministries or into real estate or stocks?
So if you're...
Is sowing an offering or is an offering and a sowing, is that the same thing?
No.
No. Sowing is to fund a God assignment.
Yeah.
Okay? So when Mindy saw this good soil, that's a ministry that has evidence.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
It could be salvation winning. I mean, they could be feeding the poor. They could be, you know, stopping sex trafficking. But that's sowing. But what you're doing in that action is you're sowing a seed anticipating a return or a harvest.
Okay. Now, because a farmer is anticipating, when he sows, I wanted nothing from that lady.
Right.
Right.
So that means it's not sowing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
But if I sow into...
You're expecting a harvest.
So think sowing something you have need of.
Yeah.
So what might, like...
Where Jesus says, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured.
Right. So if I need a new car...
Okay, so what are you going to do? You need a car.
Right. I need a new car. Mindy and I, first of all, we're married. Okay, so we're going to come into agreement.
Yes.
Now, she mentioned, what if the husband doesn't believe in sowing?
What
if the husband doesn't believe in giving? Does the husband believe you need a new car? Yep. Honey, I just want you to agree with me. We need a new car.
Yes.
Boom. There's the power of agreement.
Yeah.
So we now have the agreement. Now, Mindy's going to take that $100 or $200. This is the best part. There's nowhere in the Bible.
Now, it doesn't tell us an amount. A tithe is a tenth.
That's right.
But you're telling me then that seed sowing is not any...
Mm-hmm. No, it's as
a man purposes in his heart.
That's correct. There's no place in the Bible that tells somebody they're supposed to tell you how much you're supposed to sow.
Right.
Okay, when you hear that, give $1,000 by midnight or do this.
Right.
Show me in the Bible where it says to do that, because you're not going to find it.
It doesn't.
Okay. In fact, the Bible does talk about under persuasion or compulsion. We're not to do that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit, get quiet.
Can somebody find me where that is in the Bible that we can? We can read that. Do you know? Can somebody?
Persuasion for.
We're persuaded. Don't do things out of
compulsion.
I did that. Not out of compulsion, but I sowed a seed. I had purposed in my heart that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with my children. And so I felt impressed. I needed to sow a seed. And all I had was $5. And I was very, very pregnant. And I walked down the aisle and I sowed the seed. And within by the time I birthed my son, I had what I had asked for. So,
I remember that night, and she asked me to come into agreement with her.
I said, can you take this up there for me, because I was so pregnant? And he said, you need to sow this seed.
Okay, you know why? I'm gonna be moment of clarity. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. When she told me that it was so that she wouldn't have to work the job anymore, I'm thinking, no. Don't do that. We need that income.
That's our income.
I mean, that's in my head. No, I don't agree with that. But at that point, I was like, okay, that's her dream.
Right.
That's her goal. I'm going to agree with it. And I agreed with it. But I knew she needed to do it, not me.
Yeah. So I waddled up to the office. I waddled literally.
Now,
up.
Notice the significance of it. Because if you didn't have that agreement, there's a disconnect.
Right.
But I agreed.
Yeah, but that's an important right. That's
listen,
an important moment.
Steve, my head didn't want to go there.
I know.
Because I knew her income.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was my desire.
It was actually more than mine.
It was
at that point.
At that time. But it was the desire of my heart. And that's so powerful.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
And it wasn't about the amount that I sowed. It was $5.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is what's so great about sowing and giving and not getting caught up in the vernacular of it. Mm-hmm. God knows the heart.
So you have the verse for us.
Yes. Right. It's 2 Corinthians 9:7. And it's in the New International Version. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Oh, there you go.
God is so good.
Isn't
just
he
makes
good?
It, yeah. That's what I just love about group. He just, it just allows you to pull
okay, together. So I'm gonna read you some more here. I'm going to get to them as many as we can. Please keep them coming in. The information is there on your screen for you. This one, I won't give your name, says, I'm jobless. My children are the ones giving us money for the household. Do I need to pay tithes on what they give us? I don't know the answer to that one.
Mm. Are they tithers?
The
yeah,
kids?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a tough question.
That's
but here's the one thing that they do have. What does a person who's unemployed have?
Time.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Start there.
Okay, so wait a minute. So you can start by sowing your tithe. Your
well, it's back to mathematical equation. What's their income stream? Their income stream is zero.
Okay.
The household needs are being met. They're being fed, sheltered.
Yes.
But they're not earning that money to cover that. That's being covered for them. But they do have an asset, and that's their time. So start with that. Start
right.
tithing.
So you're basically, what I'm hearing you say is start the ball rolling. Give God something to work with.
Yes. Right.
And don't just sit there, but yeah. do something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. and like the lady with the oil. What do you have?
What's in your house?
Yeah. Start from
and
there.
And then he
There's
said, he told
something.
Her, that's a great story.
Yes.
He told her, go gather as yep. many vessels as you can, because as many as she yes. could gather is what was going to
yes.
happen.
What was that? That was fragments, right?
That's exactly right.
Fragments.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's
okay.
why you're a money coach.
That's right.
You know right where to look.
What if you've sown a substantially large seed 3 years ago and haven't received a harvest on it? There could be a lots of different reasons.
A lot of things for that too, because the other thing is you can't pull up your seed by the way that you speak about it. You can't, you know, you say it in faith and sow it in, you know, in faith, but then, you know, tomorrow you're digging it up by saying negative things or,
yeah, so watch what you
or
say.
Against what your words are saying and what you're doing.
When you're in faith, you're fully persuaded, so you have that picture.
Yeah.
So make sure that if you're disappointed, that you don't keep the disappointed picture in your head.
Okay, so I've got
start over.
two former real estate agents here.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm. And no, actually too. Three of us.
Yeah. Three of you. Yeah. And you were the builder.
Yes.
Okay, Rebecca has a question for us. Rebecca, here's yours. How do you get approved for a house with poor credit or no credit? How do I believe for a house?
Well, it might be difficult to get a loan for a house if you have poor credit and no credit.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do I get my credit up?
Start.
How do I get out of debt and get my credit up? And how do I?
Can I say our website?
No, sure. Yeah.
Go to forwardfinancialgroup.com.
And there it is on the screen right there, forwardfinancialgroup.com.
Yeah.
And you're a spirit-filled, Bible-believing, come out of Gary and Drinda Cassie.
Yes.
That's his company.
This is his company. This is the best part. When God gave him the idea to start this company, he was already in financial services. So this just isn't merely an issue of financial services.
Right.
He was buried in debt. They had maxed out credit cards, money owed to relatives, and God gave him a plan to start a business showing people how to get out of debt and charge nothing.
Yeah.
Because he said it doesn't make sense to charge to show people how to get out of debt.
Mm-hmm. And like he says, you'll never discover your purpose if you don't fix the money thing.
Right.
You'll always be chasing the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they come out with that company, and then, you know, 30 years later, thousands and thousands of families help. And yet there's...
And you have to have a plan. And that's what Four Financial Group helps you
and
with.
You guys,
give you a plan.
What do you do then? You help them with the fragments, but you help them formulate a plan.
Well, let's answer her particular question. One of the things we're going to do is help her get postured. People say, how often does the plan work? And here's the answer. 100% of the time.
Yep.
The plan works 100% of the time if you work the plan.
Yeah. Yep.
You have to consistently work the plan.
I have a bunch of weight loss programs, videos, exercise equipment.
How's that working out for you?
As you can tell, I'm not working that plan. Okay.
You can't push a rope. So.
Okay, we don't need to. You're driving at home.
I got some shakes for you on eBay. Yeah. I know we're good deal for you.
But the issue is, everybody has to get postured in position for that. So maybe it means we get rid of any debt that we have. Okay, we get a job. You know, you spend live within your means. But the issue, because again, what would be a great answer? What would we all like to just say today? Well, we'll all just hold hands and we'll all agree with her that she gets a new house paid in full 90 days from now.
Right.
How often do we see that happen? How many times? I'm not saying it can't happen.
Right.
We have seen things like
that
happen.
You guys pray with people when you start the process with
Absolutely.
Them. Because I know we went through it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as a citizen of the kingdom, we've all been given everything.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the disconnect's on our end, so we need to figure it out. And
the first,
it starts with the
I
plan.
Think one of the first things in starting this plan, and this is a really honest thing, is we have to humble ourselves. Because it is a very humbling thing to bring your debt and show
and
people
put it all out in front,
right? and just air it all out there and say this is where I'm at and but that is the start.
Yeah,
is to say I need help.
And you know what? When we did that, it was actually freeing to get everything out there. I mean, that was
like somebody's giving you hope.
Yeah,
right. And they're offering
the
hope.
The worst thing to do is to keep it all to yourself. I mean, we say this. You know, there's people that we want to help all over the world, but the person next door to you, you know, they're struggling. They're, you know, they could be this close to death, you know, because they're so stressed out about all this, the finances. And so they may look like they're just gliding across the water, like ducks across the water, but underneath their little legs are about to give out, you know, it's so, I mean, it's the best thing is to get it all out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now listen, we're not advocating that you go take out a mortgage, because many of them, we've got a lot of comments on here. Brother Copeland has instructed people not to do that. Because you become a servant of the lender.
Right.
But
right.
You we're not advocating that.
Right.
But you're paying, if you're renting a house, you're paying that guy's mortgage.
That's right. Right. And if you have a mortgage, okay, if you have a mortgage now, we need to get rid of it.
Then we need to get rid of it.
So,
right. That's what
so,
you're
so even our mortgage, even though we have a mortgage, we're not saying we're going to keep that forever.
No.
Okay, we're going to get rid of that mortgage.
You see the end.
Right. The issue is simply this. So let's say you have a $100,000 mortgage. You have a $200,000 home. And you have $100,000 in your savings or retirement account. Are we a slave to the lender? No, I could pay that house off anytime I want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we've.
So here's a question, and we just got literally 30 seconds. So I follow the program. I have, example, I guess this is an example. I have $1,500 left in debt. I'm renting. I want to buy a house, but I'm supposed to not owe anybody anything but to love him. I want to get a mortgage. So am I in disobedience if I get a mortgage, or should I continue to pay rent? I think you just answered.
I addressed it the way, I'll tell you what happened was I was very aggressive about the comment of, oh no, I mean anything
right,
but the
sure.
love in your heart, you know, accept a mortgage because they're real expensive. And Pastor Gary actually backed me off of that with that understanding of you're going to pay your mortgage and you're going to pay a landlord's mortgage, but it's back to the heart issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you going in with no money down, buying a home you can't afford, even if you can afford the mortgage payment, can you afford the maintenance, the utilities, the homeowners association?
All of it.
Yeah, all of it.
So thank you tonight for being here. They're going to be doing training here at Eagle Mountain Church this week. And you can also go and watch Gary Cassie Fixing the Money Thing. It airs Monday through Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, right here on Victory Channel. You can also go back and watch Pastor Gary and Drinda's programs that they did here when they went through the church. 350 some odd people went through that plan. Don't forget, Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign starts tomorrow night with Brother Copeland in Washington, D.C. November 20th, your home group has Irving Roth at Eagle Mountain Church. Know this, that God loves you,
yes.
and we love you,
and
Jesus is Lord. We'll see you next week.